Brisbane, have you seen any big mushrooms lately? We got all this rain, great for the garden, and it means there are big, big fungi popping up around the place. I'm talking whoppers. If you've seen any, tell me where you are, send me a pic, or just call and tell me about it, 1300 222 612. I want to know more about these big mushrooms, so I've called, well, a woman. I don't know whether I call you the queen of mushrooms or the doctor of mushrooms. It's Dr. Alison Puglio, ecologist and environmental photographer. Hi, Alison.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. Has Brisbane's big mushrooms made a national or global news? Because you forage for mushrooms all over the world.
Look, certainly it's going to be an amazing season. You've had those fantastic rains up there and the fungi are popping up out of control, as you said. And the amazing thing is we don't know what most of them are called. So we're trying to learn as much as we can about our amazing mycota, mycota meaning our fungi. And so it's wonderful to hear what your listeners have found and, as you say, to see some pictures and try and work out what they are.
Yeah, well, let me describe the biggest ones that I've seen. And they're sort of like multi-layered, multi-petaled, like blush pink, grey sort of things. They almost look like the sort of thing you would see underwater, but they're just in Brisbane backyards at the moment. What are they?
Wow, it's interesting you say that because people often comment they feel like they're snorkeling over a coral reef when they see fungi because they're not all just the regular old garden variety cap and stalk style mushroom shaped umbrella. They are in all these other forms as well. But the one you describe could actually have many, it could be many different things. So I'd need to actually come and have a good sniff of it and poke at it and try and work out what it is.
What are you sniffing for?
Well, fungi have the most incredible array of different scents and odours. And some of them smell like rotting fish and some smell like aniseed and some smell like a hot car engine. And so the smell or the odour of a mushroom gives us a huge clue as to what it could be. We work by a process of elimination and we can say, oh, this one doesn't smell like a rotting wombat or this one doesn't smell like petunias. So you can work out what it is by what it doesn't smell like. So a multi-sensory approach to identifying fungi, working out what the texture is, the smell is, what it looks like, these are all really important ways of actually identifying what it is.
Wow, you must love mushrooms if you're happy to put up with some of those funky smells. Alison, what do mushrooms actually sprout from? Because I think for a lot of people in Brisbane at the moment, it just seems like they're coming up anywhere and from nowhere.
They're like absolute magic, aren't they? And they're so ephemeral there. They're suddenly there, then they're gone again, and they seem so inexplicable. But fungi grow in all sorts of different growing mediums or substrates. Many grow in soil or leaf litter. Others grow in wood, either living wood or an old log that's on the ground. Some fungi grow out of fungi. Other fungi, some grow out of insects and some grow between your toes or in your armpits. They're the ones you don't want to get too friendly with. But they just pretty much every substrate we've got, fungi have colonised. So, and then you've got things like lichens, which are also classified as fungi, that often colonise human substrates. You'll find them on an old car, on the metal and the glass and the plastic and the paint. So fungi are pretty opportunistic pioneers or colonisers of almost every environment and every substrate.
And is it a just add water situation, like the spores are always there?
Look, you're spot on. The spores are very ubiquitous or very widespread. They're pretty much everywhere. Adding water is certainly a very important factor. So usually it's to do with temperature and water that will trigger the reproduction or the fruiting of the fungus when we see that mushroom or other structure pop up above the ground. But there's other things involved as well. And many fungi grow in association, in fact, in a very intimate alliance known as a symbiosis with particular tree genera. So there's those fungi that grow just with our native eucalypts or other native trees. There's some that grow with pine trees and other European trees. And of course, every single orchid in the country can only grow, can only germinate if it's got that relationship with the fungus.
You're listening to Dr. Alison Puglio, ecologist, environmental photographer. She spends a lot of time looking at mushrooms all over the world. I want to know what you're seeing in your yard at the moment. Brisbane, 1300 222 612. Call and tell me about your big mushies or send me a picture. You can send a picture by text 0467922612. Alison, the big question that's coming up for people is some of these mushrooms look good enough to eat. How do you know when it is safe to eat a mushroom?
Look, you're right. Often they look good enough and they smell good enough and you can already see them on the toast. except it's a deadly one or it's a toxic one. So unfortunately, there's no sort of quick 10-point checklist or plan. I wish it was that simple. I wish I could give you a list that said, scratch it here and talk to it here or whatever, and it would tell you whether it's edible or not. But the only way to be absolutely sure is to know those definitive diagnostic features. That means those characteristics that are particular to that edible species you're after. So say you love to eat field mushrooms, it's really important you know, for example, what the texture of the cap is or what the colour of the gills under the cap are and where it grows and what time of year. But also you have to know those features of the lookalike species. That's the toxic doppelganger or lookalike. So you learn the two in tandem, the edible one and the lookalikes together. But there isn't, unfortunately, just a quick way of doing it. It's like anything. If you want to be good at identifying plants or birds or whatever, it's about going slowly, learning those diagnostic features, being able to anticipate which time of year, what type of habitat. So it's a slow process of careful observation. I mean, you're taking your life in your hands here, so it's not worth taking an abbreviated approach.
So maybe the bottom line is just don't eat a mushroom that you find growing randomly. That might be the safest thing. Or consult your latest guide about wild mushrooming, which I'll give people the details of in a second. Alison, what is the funkiest mushroom you've ever seen?
Oh, wow. Look, I'm down to my short list of about 7,000. But certainly, look, in terms of impressive, the ghost mushroom, the glowing ghost mushroom that glows this curious kooky green, that's an amazing one. But the stinkhorns with their incredible red tentacles that seem to emerge out of this gooey egg, they're pretty wild. But, oh, and then you've got these dear little cup fungi that have eyelashes around the edge. So I could go on and on. There's just such amazing manifestations and different forms and colours that, you know, you spend your whole day on your hands and knees and never want to go home.
You are amazing. Okay, this has been the funnest fungi chat I've ever had. I would love to have another one with you, and hopefully you've given people food for thought as we see the big mushrooms all over Brisbane right now. Alison, thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.